When you go to the thrift store, it costs a little. Do you beg for something every time you go? Can you see something that is beautiful and would fit you to perfection in a yard sale or in a thrift store? And you can pass it with a smile, saying, I don't need it. We have money. We have enough of money for yard sales and thrift stores. Are you making decisions to cultivate contentment, or are you letting it get out of hand? Don't look at it as the cost of money. Look at it like God sees it. He sees it that it is costing you the virtue of contentment. And contentment is one of the greatest virtues you as a princess can have. A lack of contentment costs much in the way of your happiness, because you always need to get something. Your future husband's happiness, your pocketbook, and it is turning your eyes towards something away from Christ. I have learned that when I just don't know, sometimes I know. One thing that really stuck with me as I was growing up, if I said I would like to have a new dress, that mom's first question was, do you need it? And, oh, that wasn't a question I liked. But it really stuck with me. And it was a good thing, because it taught me, you don't get everything you want, you get what you need. And there's still times when my conscience bothers me. I go to the store and I just don't know, am I being overly conscientious, or do I need this or don't I need this? And I have learned there's nothing that works better than to go away from the article, not look at it, either go to the other end of the store if I'm in another state and I can't come back, and to pray about it. And to seriously think of the poor people in the world, to make my decision when I'm not looking at the thing I want, because it doesn't look as important when I'm not looking at it. Or I have already gone home for 3 days, and I've told the Lord, if you want me to have that, I'm going home to pray about this for 3 days. And if you want me to have that, you give me peace in my heart about it. After 3 days, you often, either that the temptation is gone often, you'll know whether you need it or not. We save ourselves money, drawer space, unnecessary buying by not buying on the spur of the moment. Well, we want a matching sweater for every dress. Or something, you know, and I'm not critical. I'm someone that colors do clash very badly with me if I have a green sweater and, say, a purple dress. And I do give room for some of that, but I think a wiser way might be in buying a neutral shade that matches with different dresses. You won't have as much stuff at home. Suppose you think, well, I'll just give away everything I don't need. Then I won't feel guilty. I agree that, you know, I just need, you know, 5 dresses maybe at a time. I'm not saying for everything, but say for church or for every day. I just need 5 dresses, so whenever I want a new dress, I'll make one and I'll just quickly give one away. Try giving away the new stuff. See how long you'll last at that. Cultivate contentment over your used but still usable article. It does matter, because you are teaching your heart to need more and more things. Discontentment is a costly cancer. But I'm too lazy to change because I like the feeling I get. You know, it gives me a little boost every time I buy this new article. Sometime, you might be at a financial crisis with your husband down the road, and you have not learned the art of contentment. You're going to be a very unhappy, miserable woman, and you're not going to be very fun to be around with. It's much easier to choose with God over a period of time to let Him work contentment in your heart than to let Him take that idol away and crush you, ruin your family life for a while. So you wonder, well, okay, I see that I'm discontent, but what do I do about it? You need to pray for a contented heart. And I know what I'm talking about because I had to. I started realizing one day, I am getting too much satisfaction out of making a new dress. I need to pray that God gives me contentment or out of making a new pattern. And I started praying about it. And the more I prayed about it, the more I realized my responsibility in the matter. You can't just pray about something and not feel guilty if you don't face up to your responsibility. I started making deliberate choices to not get something I want. I knew it was good for me. Be organized when you go shopping. Go only once a week or once a month. Stick with the list you prepared before you went. Don't look through catalogs until you have learned contentment. That's why the catalogs get sent out. They know that they cause us discontentment. They know that they make money. Do not spend on something because you can afford it, but only when you need it. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, "Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit." You know who wrote that? Solomon wrote that. He had more wives than anybody ever had on the face of the earth. He had riches probably beyond us counting or knowing. And he learned that better is a handful with quietness in your heart than both hands full with vexation and travail in your spirit. It's a costly cancer. It will never, ever satisfy you. Because it's always... I've experienced this for myself. I've bought something. Maybe, you know, first time I see it, and I come home and I think, why did I spend my money for that? I mean, I'm sort of glad I have it, but I wish I could have spent it on something else now. And it really doesn't satisfy. It might give you a boost the first time you wear it, but you know, if you like to wear something because it's new, you can only wear it one time and then it's not new anymore. Okay, let's move on to the attitude of servanthood. Sometimes we get a glimpse in a very holy time in our life or we're under a message and we suddenly get this feeling in our heart like a whole new world is opened up in front of us and we're just amazed at what we see. And one of those things that has opened to me different times is the attitude of servanthood. When you suddenly realize what happiness you could have if you would decide from this day on it's others I'm going to make happy and not myself. There is a whole world of thinking that can be done in that. Let's read Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Once we are a princess, we belong to the king. He has our body as well as our mental capacity to love. Sometimes there's so many Christians that seem to think being a Christian is all in the head. It's what I believe, but it isn't. It's giving absolutely every part of you, your body, your hands, your feet. It's giving your entire body to him. And it is following the highest example that we have, which is Jesus Christ. What kind of person was Jesus Christ? He was a servant to the core. There's no other word that better describes Jesus than a servant. He always went about helping others. We as princesses, it is our responsibility to be servants. We're here for. We're here to glorify God, not glorify ourselves. The way to glorify him is to bring others closer to him. The way we bring other people closer to him is not by being selfish. The best way to bring others to him is by being concerned about what they like, about their welfare. You just look at, when you see two children fighting, and you see the one that grabbed the toy and the facial expression on his face. And you see the other child that gave up and the facial expression on her face. Which child are you drawn to? You're drawn to the unselfish one. And you can see just by facial expressions that she's the happier one. People will be drawn to Christians that are selfless, not to selfish ones. First of all, I'd like to talk a little bit how to separate yourself from your body. That's one of the biggest problems with undisciplined princesses. You need to bring your body into servanthood. And the things I'm sharing with you are absolutely not possible unless you are a princess. You won't have the power to do these things. Absolutely not. But you have all heaven on your side if you are a princess, and it is possible. We've learned a great victory once we have learned to talk our body's desires down. Mornings when the alarm clock goes, beep, beep, beep. Who likes that sound? Yeah, I know you don't feel like getting up, body, but you're getting up. You're not my boss, but I'm your boss. You're getting up. I know you don't feel like brushing your teeth, but I'm going to brush your teeth. I know I had plans for the day, but I'm going to listen to Mom's plans. One servant heart can change the entire atmosphere in your home. One servant heart. You have a family that is filled with selfish people, you can change the entire atmosphere from selfish, grudging words to words of politeness by you possessing a servant heart. It brings an awakening, a touch of tenderness in a home that is otherwise callous. It doesn't have a lot of warmth in it, but you can bring that warmth in. You want respect from your brother? You complain he takes advantage of you? He's just a brother. Have a servant heart. What can I do for you today? Go bring his shoes for him. And it's not possible that we have an entire servant's heart in a selfish family without getting weary. We do get weary. We need to remember our reward in heaven, for one thing. Another thing, check your heart. Are you weary because you are gritting your teeth and deciding to be a servant, but you still want your own things? You can't be a servant without entirely telling God, I surrender my plans for the day to you. You need to surrender to him. But there are times we need an hour to refresh ourselves, to get tired. I think it would be good if you could talk to your mom. If you're starting to see that you're getting very frustrated and it's kind of getting beyond your ability to cope with, I think you need to talk to your mom and arrange it with her. Surely if everybody works together in a home, you can have 1 hour a day free. Maybe in the afternoon, right in the middle of the day, right after lunch, just to kind of refresh yourself and relax. I think it's possible if you are dependable for the rest of the day. A lot of girls, they want their time and they will fight for their time all day long. And all it does is bring a great frustration between your mom and you. And if you decide together what hour you have free and you're consistent with that, and then she knows that you're dependable for the rest of the day, I don't think it should be too much of a problem. How do I acquire a servant's heart? I can't be a servant without having the heart for it, but how do I get a servant's heart? Often we say so many things glibly and, oh, you need to be this and that, but our question often comes back, well, how do I do it? I mean, I need some practical advice. Maybe some of this doesn't sound as practical, but it is practical. You need to pray every day for a servant's heart. You need to study Christ's life and remember he is your example. Every morning when you're combing your hair and looking in the mirror, remind yourself, this girl in the mirror is God's princess. My mission today is to bring gladness to every soul I come in contact with, to be a servant to that soul. You need to stay focused. we won't get anywhere in our Christian life unless we stay focused. You need to get a tablet out and just write some of these things down so you can stay focused and every day remember to pray about it. And remember, this is the cause I'm living for. Okay, let's talk about the attitude I have about myself. How many of you are totally satisfied with every physical feature you have? I don't see one hand. I wonder what you'd say if I would ask what you want changed. Probably a lot would say, I want to be thinner. I want to be, well, girls probably say, I want to have a better figure. Probably a lot of women too, by the way. And some would say, I wish my nose wouldn't be crooked, or I wish I wouldn't have freckles, or there's just a bunch of different things that we all find up reason to decide that we're not pretty enough. We go jogging miles a day. We fast meal after meal. We wear very tight girdles, very uncomfortable ones. We take pills. We have surgery. We pine away in wishful thinking. Does it add one thing to your stature? You look at the world. Is the world ever satisfied? You look at the layers of makeup they put on it. They look like dead people. They really do. You look at the lengths they go to in money to do surgery, to take out or build up. They are constantly trying new things. You can see just by sitting back and staying away from it all, just kind of disassociating yourself with either side, you can see that they are not satisfied. Not at all. They're always trying new things. I mean, as soon as the dark makeup is in, after a bit, the light makeup is in. And they weren't satisfied with that. They have to try something else. This is really something that burdens me. This is something that girls struggle with tremendously. Somehow the world has infiltrated into the church that makes you think you aren't really pretty if you're not extremely big-busted, or really pretty if you are very big-busted, or you're not very pretty if you have big hips or small hips, or your waist is, you know, 2-3 inches away from it. And there are so many hours of yes, it's agony to a girl that a girl goes through in thinking over her physical makeup because she's afraid she might not get a boyfriend, or she might not be satisfactory to a husband, or there's just so many things, and it is so, so false. I want to persuade you that you are absolutely beautiful, exactly the way the Lord made you. It doesn't matter what the world says. What makes us decide what's beautiful? Who said a short nose is better than a long nose? Who said blonde hair is better than dark hair? God has such a huge variety of tastes that He likes trying out. And He loves every last one of those tastes. I mean, He loves freckles so much, He had to give you a lot, Miriam. He loves curly hair so much, He had to give you it, Melissa. He loves straight hair so much, He had to give Marianne dark straight hair. He loves every different aspect of hair, nose, eyes, cheeks. I think our problem is we need to look through God's eyes and not through the world's eyes at what is beautiful, and realize the world is making this box smaller and more unrealistic. All it does is cause so much heartache. So much money. The world knows it'll get money by persuading people to do that. We need to learn to respect our Maker. So many times we think, well, it's not really wrong to want to be more beautiful, or really wrong to, you know, do this or that, but I think we need to respect our Maker and His taste. When He made you, you are a total miracle among 6 billion people or more. Nobody is exactly like you. He planned you for His own special miracle to admire and to love. And we turn back, why hast thou made me thus? Is that respectful to God? Is that learning to love what He loves? And it's such a vicious cycle, because every time we give in, we create more pressure for those others that are not giving in to this. I would like to show you how God feels about your looks. Let's look at Isaiah 43:6-7. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God is taking all the responsibility for your looks on himself, and he's saying, I'm doing it because I want glory through this. Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. He made you from the womb. From the womb already, he decided how long your nose is going to be. He decided how long your toes are going to be. He decided how you're going to look overall. He had such a special plan for you. You weren't an accident. He decided that in the womb already. Isaiah 43:4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Here he's just assuring you, he loves you. You are precious and honorable to him. Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. You dream of a time when you'll be married and your husband rejoicing over you. And that puts pressure on you sometimes, because you're hoping you'll be enough to rejoice over. Your God is rejoicing over you exactly how he made you. And I would like to say this. Anybody that is found in God, you are the godly young man, you're worried he won't like you. If he is found in God, his tastes are what God's tastes are. He will love you precisely, exactly the way you are. You stop worrying about all this stuff that's coming in from the world. The young man God has for you will love you unconditionally, exactly the way you are. In fact, he'll be prejudiced. The very things you bemoan about yourself, he says, I rather like that about you. That's you. It's part of you. God has never made a flop. Never, ever has he made a flop. Dare to be that miracle. Girls that are not at peace with themselves copy other people. They copy their expressions. They copy their cool words. God is so bored by it all. He made you to be original, to be like yourself. He doesn't want a bunch of cookie cutter princesses. He wants you exactly how he made you. And he wants you learning to grow and thrive and appreciate what he has made you. Exodus 4:11, and the Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? John 9:3, talking about the blind man. He was telling the the disciples that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's why he was blind. And what I would like to ask you is this. Are you allowing God's works to be manifested in you like peace and joy over the way he made you? Or are you bitter towards your Creator? You have no right whatsoever to be bitter towards your Creator, because he has nothing but the utmost, purest motives and goals for you. And he wants you to have happiness above anything else. And if you pursue him, you will find it. Let go. Let go of all this self-image stuff. And I'm not, I mean, I realize if we have struggles with a lot of weight gain because of undiscipline in our life, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about accepting your body the way the Lord made you. And not putting such extreme pressure on each other by talking about it all the time. Let go. Let go of all these things. Live in the sunshine of God's perfect, unconditional love for you. As you live in him, you'll learn how to be yourself. And you'll learn how to become what God had in mind when he created you. Great Christians all their lives copy others. Whether it's copying the world, or whether it's parroting spiritual words, phrases, or ideas that are the end thing. Once you're real, it doesn't say that you won't be saying some of the things other people will be saying. But it means you will obey Christ whether it's the end thing or not. And you will be yourself. People can sense it when you're yourself. You will start shedding the stuff that doesn't come naturally to you. And you will be yourself. Faddish lives or trends grow old quickly. They are not based on God. So if you don't want to constantly be changing, anchor yourself to the great I Am. He never changes. You will be at peace and at rest about yourself. And pray about it. God is not above praying about the smallest prayers we give him. If we know we struggle with the way the Lord made us, with our body shape or with our looks, pray about it. Pray about it. I can't say it enough. Make God your friend. Tell him I struggle. There's nothing that gives you more power than telling God exactly like you would tell your best friend. He is not above answering, and if you are sincere, you will get over it. You will be at peace and at rest with yourself. Be every bit in God, and you will be honest through and through. Now, how to make yourself beautiful? Now, this sounds contradictory, but it's not totally. We do desire beauty. We were created to love and appreciate beauty. And the world does have some of an influence on us. We strive against it. We fight against it. And we can have victory in it. But I want to just give a few notes that will make you a person that people absolutely love to see come around, whether you're beautiful or not, according to the world's view. It is natural to want to be beautiful. If you come to terms with God in your looks, yet realize that others will judge you as being homely, strive to be the kind of person that people will love to see coming because of the peace and gentleness you radiate. The most beautiful people might be envied and admired, but not loved. Someone that fears the Lord will have a pure countenance and innocent eyes, and she will be praised. There is nothing anybody can put on his face that surpasses the beauty of a pure countenance and radiance that comes from God. There is a refreshing look to a neat, clean girl. You have to remember in this all. You cannot just decide, well, I'll be sloppy, I'll cure my pride, I'll be sloppy, and I won't. You'll take pride in your sloppiness. Our heart is that deceptive. You can't go by that. You need to strive to be neat and to be clean, remembering whose you are. You are a princess. You would not be impressed if you would truly see a king's daughter and she would be very sloppy. You wouldn't be impressed with the kingship or the king, the kingdom. You wouldn't want anything to do with it. A radiant countenance carries an appeal and attraction in a world of unhappiness. There is nothing that will make people more uncertain as to whether you're beautiful or not than if you have a radiant countenance. A radiant countenance has a way of making those features that you hate so lovely, because there is such a light, like a glow, that comes out from within. If people ask, is she beautiful? They won't know what to say. Well, no, I don't know. I guess I didn't think about it. She's just wonderful to be around with. And she is pretty, yeah. Come to think about it, she is. She just shines. Untidiness and carelessness hide the beauty of kind deeds. But greatness of soul and nobility of heart hide the homeliness of a face. Let your charm be your heart and your spirit shining out, spilling out to other people, not your face and your form. It's the charm and the spirit within you that builds relationships, that makes Earth a happy place for you, because you will make it enjoyable for the people around you, and the more they are enjoyable or are enjoyed by you, the more you will enjoy them. I think a lot of young girls in our churches today need to do an exercise. I think every night before you go to bed, if you struggle with your looks or with your physique, I think you need to make a commitment. I will no longer talk about this with my girlfriend. All I am doing is putting pressure on her and her on me. I think you need to pray every night to God, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 3 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 9-9. To hear information about our Sunday morning Bible study, press 8-8. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 7-7. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.